T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I did not imagine that we would come in here and John Lopez and Jack Easterby being bonded, man. I did not. That was not on my bingo card.
You were right. We're not. You were right. We are not.
Jack Easterby makes an appearance in the NCAA tournament.
He did, in fact, make an appearance.
What are we doing here?
Look.
What are we doing?
He's a snake. He's a serpent.
Really blessed.
It's hard to kill a cockroach.
We've been joking about this for a while though, because he's been retweeting Buzz Williams his whole time. We've kind of made jokes about this.
They're very, very faithful people. They've talked to each other, I'm sure.
And he knew him from South Carolina before all the other stuff happened.
I think he said he met him 10 years ago.
South Carolina.
Was that South Carolina?
Yeah, so they're both at South Carolina. So it's more so that they knew each other from then.
Yeah.
So he knows a little bit different.
No. Jack Easterby is a pariah, a snake, a cockroach, a con man, a serpent, a fraud. None of that has changed.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're sticking to this.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I am glad you're sticking to this.
Thank you so much.
I was worried about you coming in here and saying, you know, he's not that bad of a guy.
You know, he's really not that bad a guy. I think he's been misunderstood. I think he's been misunderstood. No. He's.
I've always loved.
I'll put it this way.
Team.
I hate that he was around the team.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about him being around the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
It is funny though. You know, you're going on the court, and it's one thing to just be there. You're sitting front row at the press conference, homie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Buzz gave him the pass.
I know, but buddy, come on, like, stay away.
No.
Stay away from the kids.
You know the weirdest thing about this whole thing. Is that he's not even self-aware enough to realize what it's going to do.
Well, I went back and looked at his Twitter feed, and I actually blocked him because I just didn't want to. I don't want anything to do with that POS. And I've had my personal encounters with him, but his sales pitch now is that you control your actions, you can't control your reputation.
Oh God,
That's his overall.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. That's no. It's a consistent theme. So he's basically saying that he has an unfair reputation. That's his indirect way of saying that.
Yeah.
But that's his
that's
his pitch.
If Jack Easterby invited me,
if you're just tuning in, Jack Easterby on the sidelines at A&M, on the court, all over the place.
If Jack Easterby invited me to one of his sermons at some function, I would be self-aware to know. I'm not going to go that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to. People know how I feel about this snake and everything else. The funny thing about him, he's not even, or he doesn't care. He's not even self-aware to know, you know what? I like Buzz Williams. I probably should not be seen there, but I'm going to be, I'll be, you know, whatever, at the hotel or in my house. Like, he's that ignorant, you know, to what he is and what his reputation is.
Yeah, he was in Setch's text. I'm not saying he coached him with him at South Carolina. He was in, like, the network, that greatest champion crap.
Yeah.
Like, they had, like, the FCA where I think that's where Dylan Thompson and Jack got good, and it was just kind of a network.
Yeah.
Of the greatest champion charity or whatever the hell that was. So I think that's how they know each other, going back to when Jack started that. Expanding the Life Coach brand and all that.
Yeah, no. I look, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I hate it. I'm just not worried about it. I can't believe the Chronicle, though. That, like, this is what happens. Like, people, I guess I should not be surprised. Like, working with the Aggies in an unofficial capacity. What are you doing?
Don't know.
What are you doing? Like, why are you writing that? Okay, if you write it, I get it. But why are you putting that headline on there?
We will get into this game that was last night, the game of the tournament, local ties, here in a sec. First,
what a freaking game.
But I'm being informed by James Smith. I won the slime off last week. How did I win a slime off on my day off?
Hey, Sean Bajani felt some type of way about you, man.
For what? What did I do?
He said, first of all, you didn't really communicate that you wasn't working on Friday. He thought he was working with you. And the other thing is,
that's my job to tell him.
The other thing is, he said you. I guess y'all saw each other coming off the elevator. He spoke to you, and you just kept walking.
Yeah, I didn't decide to take off till I went home.
You actually, I got proof of that.
He said he actually spoke to you on the elevator, didn't say anything.
I'm
going to
defend you on
this
one.
Yeah, because I wasn't off yet.
He said, "What's up, Landry?" And you didn't say anything to him. You kept walking.
What is with these people? What is with these people? These people just come on here and lie now.
Yeah, I'm actually.
I don't know. That's what you said. I was shocked.
I've got my anniversary was Saturday.
Yeah.
Lopez was off.
He can't live without me.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to take the day off. So when did I get the official word that I was off? Let me check this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 5:10, I knew I was off. So I'm supposed to text Sean Bajani because the boss says I'm off? What is with these people, man?
These people.
I don't know. He just said you ain't speak to him when he saw you.
That's because you put that in his head.
I didn't say it.
Lying.
I ain't say that.
Yeah, that's because you put that in his head.
Oh, yeah, you don't be lying either, huh? Yeah. All right, Jack used to be.
Goodness.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
God, Figgy's just putting stuff in people's heads with the with the lying. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know I was off till 5, so there you go.
Well, you won.
The game last night, the game that was, when it comes to the Houston Cougars and Texas A&M loses in double overtime.
Overtime.
To the Cougs. Cougs, I think, are the first team since 1981 to win with four people fouling out. I think UTEP was the last one. Overall assessment of that game, which I think was, I think it was perhaps the game of the tournament, to be honest.
That's
with
what
you.
I put on the doc. I thought it was. I had some weird vibes in that game too. Like, I was enjoying the hell out of it, and obviously I was cheering for the Aggies to win. And I was just numb when Anderson Garcia made that 3-pointer. But when they lost, I was like, you know what? Like, the Cougs, man, I mean, they were so impressive, too. I mean, I think, you know, the grittiness of both teams was really on display. Like, those teams played hard. And I'm talking from the opening jump. Like, they played the really good basketball.
Yeah, and I think that Texas A&M actually was the more aggressive team, which is saying a lot against the Cougs. I think Texas A&M was the more aggressive squad. I really didn't think the game was poorly officiated early on. I think A&M was just aggressive. I don't like just counting foul differential. I think that's stupid. Getting fouls called on you is not like ordering French fries. Mm-hmm. In other words, if I order a large French fry, you order a large French fry, we should both have the same amount of French fries in the box. Fouls, a lot of times it's just reflective of the aggressiveness. I did think there was a couple of strange calls at the end, but I thought A&M was the more aggressive team. I thought U of H, for the most part, like the entire game, they did a good job of withstanding A&M's energy and all that and aggressiveness.
Yeah.
I didn't think, though, that the fouls were a reflection of one-sided officiating. I thought A&M was just aggressive as hell. They were going to the cup.
Anyone who complains about fouls, let me ask you this. Which team from the opening tip made it their entire game plan to get to the lane? It was the Aggies. The Aggies were getting to the lane on almost every possession. You're going to draw more fouls when that happens. The Cougs could get to the lane occasionally, but really, you know, between Sharp and everybody else, we're kind of a penetrate and kick it out team. Well, you're not going to get as many calls that way. I mean, you're just not. And like when you talk about calls, like the Aggie that was going to cut it to 4 points, he didn't step out of bounds. They called him out. I mean, you can do that all day long. The best thing was, I don't think the Cougs have ever faced a team that could get to the lane like the Aggies did with those guards, and that led to more fouls. Whatever. It's a great game. It was an absolutely great game.
Yeah, it was wild. And then you had a couple of moments. I mean, guy makes a free throw, and you would have thought he came in and went for 30.
Love that.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, I know I don't want to get in the way of like the feel good story, but I mean, they have contests at halftime where people hit free throws on the regular. So
and hadn't played basketball.
Yeah,
in a year.
You've been practicing basketball 24/7. Apparently, you're the first guy to leave and the last guy to go. I'm not trying to like hike my leg on this story, but.
Well, here was my observation.
I mean, yeah. Come on. I mean, you made a free throw, buddy. Good job, Ryan Elvin.
Here's my observation on Ryan Elvin. Huge kudos for making one of two.
John McClain would have done that if they'd given him another shot at the first shot.
Here's the second part of that sentence. Huge kudos for making one of two while you're crapping your pants. Like, he was – did you see – I mean – he works hard. He's there on Sundays. I heard the clip from Kelvin Sampson. You know, he's beloved. Jamal Shetty was surprised that he even missed one of two. I get all that. The kid deserved it, and he got it. But he was terrified. Landry, he was terrified. Credit, but he was just like wanted to be anywhere but there. It was so funny. And he made it. Like I said, good for him. There are a lot of that was a fun night. That was a fun night.
I did not have a dog in the fight. I picked A&M on the bracket to win, and then I started. You know, I almost thought I jinxed the Cougs, so I thought I was going to have to deal with that because I said the game was over when it wasn't. I said it was going to be a teachable whim, but my pet peeve in basketball is when. You're up three with 10 seconds of foul. Like, what are we doing? Kelvin Sampson got what he deserved there. You got what you deserved.
Yeah.
They got three looks to tie it. And on the last one, which, by the way, I don't know what they were doing on that jump ball. On the last one, you hit it. I don't understand why these coaches don't foul when you're up three with 10 seconds left.
He is. But
he's a hardo, so he doesn't want to do it.
It might be a little bit of hardo, but I think he's just more confident in his defense and what they can do. You know, they talked about it a little bit last night. I think that's what it was. But with 1.2 seconds left, and I know it was hard to do, but you foul him. It was crazy.
Sally Sheehan says, "Oh, stop, Landry. Lopez is right. That kid was under tremendous pressure." To make a free throw? Like, I don't know. Like, is Laramie Tunsil under pressure at the Rockets' first shot? He made one of two free throws, man.
Yeah.
That's all he had to do.
Yeah. And credit.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Good shot, man.
Yeah. Good shot.
Good job, man. I don't know about that story. It seems a little bit forced.
He was terrified. Like I'm surprised he hit the rim. Well, he barely hit the rim on the first one. He just clanged it off the back. But look, this was a lot of
that was a hell of a game, though.
Hell of a game, but a lot of what they both do best. You know, I think one of the things that got to the Cougs, they've never faced a team that could get to the lane like the Aggies could. They're not used to that.
They were in control at the end. Kind of seemed like they just stopped playing D too.
Well, the Aggies were getting some awful looks at three pointers.
There was one. There were a couple of calls. The one where the kid fouled out. The dude basically pushed him, and he fouled him on the shot. But if you're going to completely ignore the fact that he got shoved back 3 feet,
yeah,
did a little like Michael Jordan on steroid little shove.
There were some calls that I both ways that I thought were sketchy. I thought late in regulation, the Aggies were about to cut it to four and should have cut it to four, and they called the kid out of bounds, and he wasn't out of bounds. I thought the jump ball the Aggies got.
Yeah, did he travel, though?
I don't know. I didn't notice that
I
part.
Think he was holding the ball. Like he held the ball, and then he was running. I thought, if anything, he might have traveled, although he did catch it and then go. But, yeah, he wasn't out of bounds on the
and that would cut it to four breakaway. With, like, 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
But and then the Aggies got a jump ball that wasn't a jump ball. like the underneath.
Dude. And
the, the refs didn't want to go home. It's funny. Sitting on his side, and he gets the ball. And the
jump
refs,
ball.
Yeah, and they never even both possessed it. It was like on the guy's hip.
Yeah.
That would have been game.
Yeah.
And the ref calls a jump ball. And by the way, when did maybe I'm just getting old. When did coaches stop taking the delay a game penalty to see what the play is?
Oh, yeah.
Why did they stop that? It's like A&M had no timeout, so they used their final timeout to do that inbounds play.
Mm-hmm.
What, remember back in the NBA days when you would just take the delay game? You step on the line, you take the delay game so you see the play?
Yeah.
And then if they have another timeout, they call timeout and they do a new play. Mm-hmm. But if not, then you know what the play was going to be?
Exactly.
When did these coaches stop doing that?
No, I agree with that. That's something that should have happened. But yeah, there were some calls that easily could have gone both ways. I thought it evened out in that regard. But the fouls, oh, they shot so many. Dude, the Aggies were in the lane all day. That's how you get calls. And the Cougs were penetrating and kicking it out. Cougs helped defense, though, not to get too technical here. Good Lord. Those guys are incredible. Like, they're incredible the way they can help, you know, when a guy beats his first man.
Jim Nantz.
Oh, I'll get to Jim Nantz. I have a hot take on Jim Nantz.
Okay.
I have a hot take. You know what? I'm going to give it right now. I'll give it again later when the
internet. Oh, you got a Jim Nantz take, huh?
I have a very hot Jim Nantz take. I think there's a better chance of Jim Nantz being hired in an official capacity by the Houston Cougars than Jack Easterby being hired by the Aggies.
Okay. But he still has a job, right?
I mean, he does. Like the golf, he does the Masters and some other NFL.
Well, apparently he's going to do the championship ceremony this year.
He's going to do the
which,
trophy.
By the way,
yeah.
Can we just admit that Iron Eagle's better?
If the Cougs win, is he going to wear his Cougs hoodie?
That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
But can we admit that Iron Eagle's better?
Iron Eagle is better.
So you're telling me that Iron Eagle's just going to drop these gems and call these like broadcasts, and then all of a sudden Jim Nantz is going to show up? Like that's the that's the moment people have been waiting for, and he's going to introduce the national champs.
Have his hoodie on.
Dude, that's a borderline sociopathic thing. That's either a really like out of touch or sociopath. Like if it was CBS's idea, I think it's out of touch because I don't think anyone in their right mind. I think people are enjoying
CBS
getting
idea.
To know Iron Eagle, like and seeing him on this stage or at least seeing him get what he gets.
Yeah.
Now he's going to sit there and Jim's going to do it. That just seems a little bit out of control.
It was not CBS's idea. We can agree on that, can't we? Oh, man.
And he's making cameos in all the local.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, all the local newscasts and stuff.
Did you see the one with Chancellor? Shout out to Chancellor covering the Cougs.
Yeah.
He was like, hello, friends, and go Cougs. Shout out to the Cougs, man. Best team in town, best coach in town, or one of the best teams in town, best coach in town. And shout out to the fighting Texas A&M Easterbees. They really, really left it on the floor yesterday. That was a hell of a fight. It's a cliche to say that it sucks that someone has to lose, but it does suck that those kids had to lose because either one of those squads would have deserved to win. Coming up, is Nick Caserio one thing away from looking silly? Would one move make Nick Caserio look foolish? We'll discuss. Plus, we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. He spoke a few minutes ago. He weighs in on something connected to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
All the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, March Madness is upon us. We will talk about the best sounds and everything going on. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. D'Amico Ryans, he's live at the owners' meetings. There's a little coach's breakfast today. And he was asked about the draft trade that Nick Caserio made with the Minnesota Vikings. This is what he had to say about it.
Yeah, the thought process behind, you know, moving back. Know in the draft is just, we feel like in this draft there's a really a large amount of players right in that second to third, fourth round. It's a lot of guys right there that can come in and help our team, right? We feel like there's a, that's where the, as I said, the sweet spot of the draft is this year. And so we're excited about that move, and we feel like we can add some really quality players to our team.
All right, there you go. So I agree with that line of thinking. I can support that line of thinking, but there's been another possibility being thrown out. And I think if this happens, then I think perhaps Nick Caserio could look somewhat foolish. Now, It's not the end of the world foolish. It's could end up being like a small payoff. But if they end up trading back into the first round, then I'm going to start to question what the hell they're doing. Because let's say that you trade into the first round, and for the trade with the Minnesota Vikings, you gave up your first, you got back a second this year, you had a late round swap, and then you got a second next year. If you end up trading back into the first round, and let's say that you trade one of your seconds for this year, and then a third, basically you did a second and third round pick swap for next year. And you risk losing a player that perhaps you like more than you're letting on. If you truly believe, and I don't think it's the worst thing, if you believe that two in the top 60 is better than one at 23, I get it.
Yeah.
But if you like someone enough, whether it be after more evaluation or whatever, and you trade back into that first round, especially when you're at the mercy of other teams at that point, because sometimes you might have to pay a little bit more if you're trading on the go.
Yeah.
I think Nick Caserio would look a little bit silly. And I quite frankly don't think he's silly, which is why I don't see them trading back into the first round, because I think it would be really weird if they did that.
Yeah, let's start there, because Nick Caserio, they were together for a while. Nick Caserio pretty much said what D'Amico just flat out said. There's a pool of players that they like a lot in the second round. It's kind of hard to reel that back in and be wrong. Like, if you do what you're talking about, and if you do trade back into the first round, it better be a day one starter, man. I mean, it better be a stud.
But because should you have just stayed where you were then?
Yeah, depending on where you move up to.
I mean, depending on what you trade. Like, yeah. let's say you trade. Like, if you trade a third and a fourth, then you basically had a pick swap and threw in a fourth. Because right. You do have that extra second next year. I don't want to ignore that extra second next year. But if you're trading the second you got, and then you're trading a third to hop up, which is typically probably what the price would be at that point, then you essentially risked, because there is risk. There's no guarantee that anyone's going to take the trade with you, but you essentially risked missing out on a player that you thought enough about to where you could have just stayed put at 23 and gotten him, and you're trading back in, and it just seems like you're talking out of both ends.
Yeah, if you move behind 23rd into the first round, you're going to look bad. Because this could have all been avoided. You stayed where you were, and you would have gotten the player that you wanted, and you better be right with him. But I let's just be honest here. I don't see that happening. I think what Nick Caserio hinted at and what D'Amico just flat out said is the case. They've got that sweet spot, and now they're in a good position to get a couple of players.
Yeah, you left, so going back is something that just kind of seems a little bit irrational.
Yeah.
Speaking of going back, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I'm going to ask you this, and this is a polarizing topic for people who go out in the streets. When you go to a restaurant, when is the send back okay? I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm last week.
No spoilers. Oh, last week.
Last week. And, I mean, basically, they sent back a dish, and the manager said since there were three bites off of it, they couldn't have the refund.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a bit, which she took a bite and said, "Ooh, it's gross." And then she took a confirmation bite.
It was like lime pie.
To confirm it was gross. And then he took a bite and confirmed it was gross, and then they wanted to send it back.
Yeah.
I was at a restaurant this week and they offered to take something back, which it was a complete misunderstanding. I liked what I was drinking. Mm-hmm. It was an IPA. I said I want to switch it up. So they said, "Oh, do you not like that? Do you want me to take?" I'm like, "No, it's empty. I'm just trying to switch it up and go down."
I do that all
line.
The time.
Yeah, I'm just going down.
Almost
the line.
Almost like your own personal flight.
When is it okay to send something back at a restaurant?
Half. You can't have more than half.
You can eat half of it.
Up
and
to
send
half.
It back.
You can eat up to half and say, "You know what? Because sometimes you're just like hungry and you like try to kind of push through and then you're like, you know, this is not good." You know, first of all.
So you're a send back
guy.
No,
I was going to say, first of all, I never send back food. I'll just take one for the team. I'll just eat something that's awful or not eat it at all. But I'm saying anyone who does, I think you can probably go up to about half. I can't remember sending anything back, like ever. Maybe I have, but I can't remember it.
Yeah, I don't believe in the send back.
You just got to push through, man.
I don't believe in the send back.
You made a bad pick a bad pick on the restaurant.
Now, if it's cold or if there's something
wrong
with it.
I don't even do that.
But just taste?
Like, even if it's cold, I'm like, oh, man, they're going to spit in my food if I tell them to warm it up. I'm just paranoid about stuff like that. Can you warm this up a little bit? Yeah, sure.
Some
we'll
people
warm it
order
up for
a full-ass drink and then take a sip and say, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's awful to do.
You can
that.
Do the send back.
Liquor's expensive, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're pouring the whole thing out.
Yeah. Liquor is really, and that's all they can do.
It's not a good look, man.
It's poured out.
Not a good look.
Now, my mom was the queen of everything on the table is yours when you go home. I'm not talking like silverware, like the tortillas. The chips that are left, you know, the queso, the bottom of the salsa bowl. She would put all that stuff in her purse. We got breakfast, baby. Like she was the queen of that.
So if you went to a restaurant, you just take the whole.
We pretty much left with every grain of food that was on that table.
The sugar?
Sugar, all of it. All of it.
I don't know about that.
I mean, not the whole thing, but she'd take some sugars or whatever.
Yeah, not sure about that. Yeah. Send back 713-572-4610. When is the send back okay? 346 says at half. You've already eaten near the whole plate. So he disagrees with the half.
Well, I don't do it, first of all. But I think half is half the plate. It's not near the whole plate. But I think I think you could do that because people are trying to forge through. They're trying to push through and eat it. And then they realize, nah, I don't like this. By the way, I've got I don't know if we'll do it today or tomorrow, but I've got a related Elite Eight for you.
Oh, we got that.
To this.
Yeah, we'll do it at 12:35.
Yeah, we got that.
Food you love to hate. 346, the send back is immediately one bite.
One bite?
So they say one bite and it's an immediate send back.
I don't know if I agree with that. That one bite is nothing. Because a lot of times
do think you need a confirmation bite.
Yes, you do need a confirmation bite.
It's like, is it me? Is there something wrong with this? Does this taste soapy?
Yeah.
Is it
me? Oh, that's the worst, too. You drink like a glass of iced tea and taste soapy?
Oh, this isn't nice. 409 says when John is cooking, the send back is okay.
Hey, I have some people this weekend that would vehemently disagree with you.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up next, another early exit. The most polarizing tradition in college basketball continues. And the goalposts. We're used to goalposts being moved, especially when it comes to one of the faces of college basketball here, Jack Easterby. I think this guy is acting just like Jack Easterby, and I'm not fooled by it. I'm on to you, sir. Next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader.
Localize It.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, so we have the We have some rule changes in the NFL. I'll get into something. It's actually hilarious to me what some of these college basketball coaches are trying to do right now. And it's even more hilarious how many people are kind of buying into it. Mm-hmm. They've been living in this world for a while. We'll get into that in a sec, but let's get the new rules for the NFL that impact the Texans, courtesy of Ian Rapoport. Couple of rules. This one was proposed by Detroit. Protect the club's ability to challenge a third ruling following one successful challenge. So if you go 1-for-2, you're going to get another challenge. Support that.
Yeah.
The competition committee amends Rule 15, Section 5, Article 2 to allow for an enforcement of a major foul by the offense prior to a change of possession in a situation where there are fouls for both teams. Not quite sure what the hell that means.
So does that
allow for an enforcement of a major foul by the offense prior to a change of possession in a situation where there are fouls by both teams? So offsetting type thing? I don't know. We'll figure that out.
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
And then eliminate a potentially dangerous tackling technique, which is the hip tackle, which has been a controversial thing for a while. The NFL has banned the hip drop tackle. The competition committee was unanimous on it. Players Association spoke out on it. I don't know what this is going to look like. I know this is going to create a hell of a lot of controversy. And quite frankly, it's going to make a job that's already pretty difficult even more difficult, that being an NFL official.
Okay, so I get the why they want to do the hip drop. That's the main one. Then the kickoff thing has not been voted on yet. But it seems like the new kickoff rules are going to get some traction and maybe even pass. Not the one that we talked about last week, but just different variations of not moving until the ball hits the ground or hits the end zone or whatever. We'll get to that. But the hip drop tackle, to me, I get it. I think it probably is going to make the game a little safer, because people, when you grab them around the hips and you fall, a lot of times you fall on the ball carrier's legs or lower body, whatever. I get it. What I don't like about it is we're doing everything we can to take the interpretation of vague rules away from, or tough calls away from the officials, and then we add a very vague call. Like, you can grab a guy around the waist. You can't like fall and drop him. I still don't get it.
I'm watching the highlight tape that they showed. I still don't get
That's what I'm saying. The interpretation, you're like, okay, we'll do replay for this. We'll add another replay review. If you get one right, we're trying to take the interpretation away from the officials, and then we add a very interpretive call. That is going to be...
Look at the highlight tape right now.
The one with the Chiefs? Yeah.
Yeah, and then Jimmy Ward's on there a lot, too. I'm not sure what this is. I'm confused.
Yeah, because you can still grab them around the waist. You just can't drop and bring them and fall on their legs.
What does that mean?
Thank you. I mean, like, how do you interpret that? Like, how do you interpret a hip drop?
This is going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. And by the way, how are you going to sack a quarterback? Like... There's another thing. You can't go high. You can't go low. You can't drop.
J.J. Watt is going to lose his mind on this. I'm waiting for him to say something.
No, seriously. You can't go high on a quarterback. You can't go low on a quarterback. And now if you wrap up on him
weighed in.
He already weighed in.
Just fast forward to the belts with flags on them is what J.J. is saying.
Yeah. Like, it's... Let's take away all the interpretation so it'd be a little clearer, crisper game, and then let's add this one that no one really knows what it is. That's my thing. Actually, one of the clips they showed, I'm sure it's the same one that you're looking at, is Ryan Tannehill getting sacked or getting hit as he releases the ball. I don't see where that can be an issue.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. And they've had rules where it's gone on for a year and then they get rid of it or what. I don't know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, but okay. Competition committee, players, disconnect, whatever. This was Jay Wright. One of the big stories of the weekend. Kentucky goes down to Oakland. John Calipari. Cougs in the Sweet 16, only team from Texas remaining, by the way. Mm-hmm. Kentucky's won one NCAA tournament game since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
One SEC tournament game since 2019. John Calipari has a $33 million buyout, drops to $27 million after the 2024-2025 season.
Yeah.
I kept hearing this type of dialogue, and I like Jay Wright. I think, although he's a liar, I like Jay Wright.
I like him, but he's a liar.
I mean, he's doing a great Clips endorsement. I mean, you see that guy's suits and that guy's hair.
Yeah,
my man ain't going to Great Clips.
I'd like to know which Great Clips.
I don't know what's a bigger lie: Jay Wright saying he's going to Great Clips, or Tom Brady saying he eats Subway.
Yeah,
like my man is a liar. I love you, Jay Wright, but you're a liar. Those $25,000 tailored suits or whatever the hell you got, and that slick ass fade you got, you didn't get that at Great Clips, my man.
He did not.
But this was Jay Wright talking about John Calipari after the Kentucky Wildcats got eliminated, and it was getting a lot of praise. I don't quite understand why.
The era of taking these young freshmen and trying to play against older players is over. I think he did a phenomenal job with these guys all year, getting them to be as successful as they were. They're playing against grown men. The guys on Kentucky will be far better pros than any of these guys on Oakland or any of these guys in the tournament, but they're not as good college basketball players. They're not as disciplined yet as the guys from Oakland. And it's not Cal's fault. It's they're 18 years old and they're in this era where everyone's telling them how great they are. Just show up in college and you're going to win. It doesn't happen that way. And the more the guys stay in college because of NIL, it's going to be tougher for young teams like this to be successful.
Big eye roll. And I'll tell you why. And I'm not disagreeing with what he said, but I think it's a big eye roll. And I think a lot of these coaches, the Bill Selfs and the John Calipari, they're really having selective ignorance, and they have no grasp of the reality of where things have been. Not where they are, but where they have been. In college football, coaches are getting used to NIL right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new thing for them. They're figuring this out. They're figuring out that when I recruit this kid, there's a chance he might not be here in a year. There's a chance, hell, he might be playing in our conference the very next season. They're getting used to it. Like college football, college baseball, really any other sport, they're getting used to it. Mm-hmm. The NBA's had one and done for – this has been John Calipari's existence forever.
Yeah.
This is not new. They've had guys who don't even have to go to class because they go to school for one semester. John Calipari, go back to Anthony Davis. Go back to all of his teams. If John Calipari is just now looking at this and because the NIL has basically been in college basketball. I know that there's more money.
Yeah.
But when you're at Kansas or you're at Kentucky, your best players for – how long has it been? 15 years?
At least.
Yeah. They're one and done no matter what.
Yeah.
So this is not new. This is not like an adjustment to the current state of the game. That's been John Calipari's reality for a long time.
Yeah, and the other part, the hole that I saw in his argument there, is he said because of the NIL, these kids are going to be staying in school more. They've been staying in school anyway. It's not getting paid. Like these, it's been a long time, 15 years, as you put it, discussion of, well, that's a veteran team.
Yeah, the veteran.
Yeah, that's a veteran
the
team.
The veterans, second-tier schools, they always have
They've
that.
They've always had the veteran
Like, he just
teams.
Basically described college basketball for the last 20 years.
Yes. Like I totally disagree with that part as much as anything, because they're just getting paid now, so good for them. And then there's this. He said, it's not Cal's fault. It is Cal's fault. Like, first of all, he decided to go down this one-and-done path, which good. Obviously, everybody wants the most talent they can get. He's the one that is not coaching them up to the level that other teams have with one-and-dones, including himself.
Yeah.
You know, with his Kentucky teams that he had one-and-dones and won a national championship.
Yeah.
You know, it just I agree with you.
Well, the other thing that I think is hilarious that I hear from Calipari mm-hmm. is, you know, they go up there and they're talking about the one-and-dones mm-hmm. and they're it's what you've been doing for a long time, but it's not new. Like it's nothing new for John Calipari.
Yeah,
you know what's going on. And then I hear this guy, this Jamoke, go up there last week, and John Calipari's at the press conference. He's going like this.
Yeah, here's my sales pitch for Kentucky. If you look at how many draft picks we've had X amount of draft picks. 70% of our guys come here and they go to the NBA. 79% of those guys that go to the NBA get second contracts. Mm-hmm. We've had billions of dollars in contracts in the NBA. If that's your sales pitch, why the hell are they supposed to care what happens in March?
Yeah.
like I don't see Bill Self and all these other guys. I don't see Hubert Davis saying that. Mm-hmm. If your sales pitch, when you go up there and you have this platform and you're talking to the world, is you're going to make billions of dollars in the NBA and you're going to go to the NBA, that's a given. But if that's your sales pitch, why the F are these kids at Kentucky supposed to care about what's going on in March? If that's what you're selling to these kids.
And then beyond all that, the thing that really ticks me off about Calipari is when they do get ousted, he throws everyone under the bus.
Oh, God. We'll hear that.
He throws...
Oh, we'll hear that at 11:20.
Everyone under the bus.
Oh, and he always... It's always like the subtle... We had them prepared to play. They just didn't make the plays we're used to. It's not we didn't make the plays. It's we had them prepared.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, let's hear this Jamoke after the game. And this is after he said, we're built for March. Listen to this scumbag, by the way.
Yeah.
John Calipari. Talking about his team, and notice pretty much he says we did everything we could to coach. They just weren't ready.
You know, we had some guys that didn't play the way they'd been playing all year. We did everything we could. We knew the zone would be tough, but we miss shots we don't miss. And, you know, the preparation, I thought they were in a great, trying to keep them loose. But when the game started, you had some guys not play to the level they could play.
I prepared him.
He practically said they choked.
I prepared him, but they just didn't get it done.
They were ready, but once the game started, I don't know.
He's a slime ball,
like
man.
Ryan Elvin out there. I mean, come on.
It's crazy. It's insane.
I hate that he does that. And that's not the first time he does that.
And that's the first slime off nominee, John Calipari. Yeah. We prepared him, but they just didn't execute. Coming up next, man, things could change in a big way for the Houston Texans. It is a big day. That's the bad cow. Let's go to the good cow next, as well as take a look at the two faces of the state and the two faces of the best game of the tournament so far next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.